Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to be reminded of something. You know, as you look at God in the Old Testament, or you hear about God in the Old Testament, we see Him, or people have portrayed God as, you know, God was really angry in the Old Testament. He was just always, you know, ticked off, and He was upset with His people, and, you know, He was so harsh and making these judgments, and you know, we kind of see then God as this angry God in heaven. And I want you to know that certainly God has gotten angry, and there's moments that since the Old Testament, He's still gotten angry. But I want you to know that He's not this angry God walking around with a big club ready to, you know, squash us, splatter us. You have to understand the reason that God has gotten angry. I want you to hear this. He gets angry or furious, His fury builds when He is continually trying to love somebody, be gracious to somebody, and they continue to refuse Him. Do you understand that? He doesn't just get angry because we did something wrong. His anger is fueled because somebody continues to refuse Him and reject Him when all He's trying to do is love you, be gracious to you, bless you, reveal Himself to us. And in the Old Testament, God had His people, and when they honored Him and they listened to Him and they received His love and they received His provision and they received His kindness and they thanked Him for it and they looked to Him and honored Him, God was not angry. But as He tried to love them and be gracious towards them and strive with them, in other words, you know, as they're making their move, as we make our move as people, He keeps striving with us to say, you know what, no, wait, come, let's go this way, let's stay together. He keeps trying, striving, that's what it means. Keeps trying to get our attention and love us. And so, through the Old Testament, you will see His people refuse Him and reject Him. And then you see God's anger. And then you see God discipline them to get their attention so that their ways could be changed. But not only their ways, but that before their ways would change, their vision, their focus had to change. They had to begin to look to God. And as they look to God, then their way changed, their direction changed. And so we will see that God, you know, of the Old Testament is not just this angry God. He had justifiable anger because all He was trying to do is love somebody, care for somebody, instruct somebody, just like He does in our life. So in the Old Testament, you will see many references. You'll see it from the Messianic prophet. You'll see it from Isaiah. You'll find it in Jeremiah. You can find it in Psalm. You'll find it in different places where it talks about they will drink of the Lord's cup, or God says, I will give them this cup of wine to drink from, and it is the cup of my fury, or the cup of my wrath. This anger and wrath that builds up, this fury in God that builds up because they refuse Him, reject Him, and they go their way in sin. Now, as we have experienced the New Testament, I want you to know it's not like God changed His mind about sin. God still hates sin. He still gets angry and fury begins to build, and it continues to build as people continue to reject His love and care. It still does. The New Testament didn't change that. What changed in the New Testament is that God sent His Son to be the sacrifice, His blood, to forgive us and pay for all of our sins. Instead of, in the Old Testament, sacrificing animals blood. It was insufficient for the forgiveness of sin. It was insufficient for grasping the hearts of people. But through Jesus, this relationship comes, and we see God come to earth and rescue us and lay down his life and die on a cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness or the remission of sins, that our sins could be completely wiped out and forgiven. And because of that, God could take great joy, knowing that when we believe in his Son, we received his love. We received his grace. We receive his mercy. We receive a different way of living. You see futuristically in the book of Revelation, in different places. You'll see it in chapter 14. You can see it in chapter 18. It says, they will drink of the cup of God's fury. In chapter 18, it talks about Babylon. And Babylon, God will fill this cup with the wine of his fury, and they will drink of it, and his judgment will come on them because they didn't repent. They didn't change. They continued to refuse and reject God. So they would drink of this cup of God's wrath and God's fury. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 22. And if you would look at verse 40, please. We'll start with verse 39. Let's do that. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and began to pray. And this is some of what he prayed. It's recorded here for us. And Jesus is kneeling down a little ways from his disciples, and he begins to pray. He says, "Father, if you are willing, take this," what? What is it? "Take this cup from me, yet, Father, not my will, but yours be done." And then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. We can stop there. He prayed, "Let this cup pass from me." What do you think that cup was? It was the cup of God's wrath and fury because of sin and refusal on humanity's part to honor and live according to God and live in relationship with him. It was a refusal of letting God love you. And God's fury built because they continue in their sin. And now Jesus has come to go on the cross, shed his blood, and fall under, pay for the judgment upon humanity's sins. Their refusal of God's love and grace and kindness and mercy and ways to live. God's ways. He said, "If you can let this cup pass from me, your wrath, your fury is so great and so justifiable, yet I will drink of it." And Jesus did drink. He drank the cup of God's fury by going to the cross. Because all the weight of sin, all the weight of sin. Sometimes we have a hard time just bearing our own sin. Have you ever sinned and committed sin and you're just so grieved, you're so disappointed, you're so disgusted. It's like, why did I do that? You feel so horrible inside. Okay, that's you. That's one person's sin. Only in our imagination can we not even know, but kind of understand how vast it is when he drank of the cup of God's fury for humanity. God didn't hate humanity. God loves humanity. He created humanity. He loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. But when we refuse his love and grace and forgiveness and mercy, and we refuse his ways, fear begins. Because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to experience not only his fury, he doesn't want us to experience the consequences of our sins, eternal or temporal. And Jesus came and he drank of the cup of God's wrath. Take this cup from me, nevertheless, I'll drink it if it's your will. I will submit myself, and he became payment for our sin to satisfy the wrath of God, the fury of God. See, we live in a day and an age where we like to hear grace and we like to hear mercy, and the fact of the matter is we should, because it's our hope. And that's the good news of the gospel. There is grace, there is mercy, there is forgiveness of our sins. But in the midst of hearing this continually, you understand there's a reason we need grace and mercy. Because the fact of the matter is, and you hear this, this is not condemnation, this is a fact. You will be judged. You hear it. I will be judged. You and I, we will be before him. We will see the one who is dressed in a white robe, whose feet are like bronze that have been in the fire, whose hair is like wool and his eyes are like fire, and from his mouth will come a double-edged sword of judgment. No mistake about it. You hear it. There is good news. There is forgiveness. This is not a message of condemnation. But you need to remember why the grace and mercy is there. Because you and I will stand, kneel, bow, and be judged. The thing that you have gotten away with in your business, the little business account thing or whatever else, and you think it's no big deal, never been caught, it's acceptable. The thing that your parent doesn't know about, you think he escaped with. If we do not come into relationship with him and judge ourselves and ask for his mercy and grace and repent and change, we will stand in judgment of God if we don't do that. And we will drink of his cup of fury. You can go to church. You can sing the songs. You know this. We can go through some of the religious motion. And for some, it has great meaning because there's personal faith expressed in it. For some, it's just motion. It's become familiar. And we compromise. And we start to slide. And we slip in conviction. And we blend with worldliness. Not just in action, but in attitude. And God is sending conviction by his Spirit of righteousness and what's right and what's wrong. And as we continue to refuse it, I want you to know that there is a cup that's being filled because we see it in Revelation. And it is for those who refuse, those who will not repent, and they will drink of the cup of God's fury. For those who come to him and confess and repent and change and honor him, Jesus drank the cup for you. He drank it for us. And his blood never loses power to pay for my sin and yours. But the moment I start to refuse and reject his love, his leading, his purpose, his calling, his direction, his word, his conviction, a level rises in the cup of God's fury and wrath. He doesn't hate us. Doesn't hate us. It's because he loves us. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Paul writes to us in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A person should examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick and have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under that judgment. This cup that we drink this morning represents his blood. It represents his blood. And it causes us to remember Christ Jesus and what he did, dying on a cross for me. And that he drank of the wrath of God so that I would not have the wrath of God upon my life. And because I believe upon him as my personal Savior and that he's the only begotten of God and then he rose again, I can drink of this cup and celebrate without fear. But if I do not judge myself and I drink of this cup, it is no longer a cup of celebration. It is a cup of God's fury and wrath. Because I drink it in an unworthy manner. Because I did not judge myself or confess my sins or repent or desire God to lead me in a new direction. I just drink of this cup because it's communion. And I'm still refusing God's conviction. And I comes time for communion, I drink of this, I drink in an unworthy manner. And it opens me up for God's wrath, God's fury. It opens me up to the consequences of sin. That's why Paul writes, he says, some of you have drank in an unworthy manner. This was not a cup of celebration, but rather the fruit of God's wrath. And many of you have become sick. You've become weak. In fact, this is why some of you have died. He wasn't writing to unbelievers. He's writing to those who celebrate communion. The church. Those who say they follow Christ. Understand that today is a day of conviction. This is that day. This is not a day of refusal and I have tomorrow or I've got next Sunday. Today's the day of conviction, of righteousness, and peace. So you and I, we have to choose. Choose. There is grace and there is mercy and there is the kindness and the compassion of God revealed in Christ, so compassionate to sinners, to people like me. And yet, if we don't judge ourselves, and if we don't respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in the big things, in the so-so things, in the small things, then we drink of this cup in an unworthy manner. If we do not respond to God, his love, his grace, if this was meant to be a celebration of him giving his life and redeeming us. A happy time. A time of peace in here. But if we don't get things right between us and God, it's the opposite. It's a refusal of God. We don't live under His protection or blessing till we repent, till we return, till we look to Him, till we give Him our attention. There is good news, friend. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life, forever and ever living with Him. That our past is wiped away and no sin, your sin, no sin is counted against you. It is under His blood, not retrievable, not able to be brought back in argument against you. I don't care how Satan accuses you. It can't be retrieved when it has been washed by His blood. His blood. What power. What hope. Let's call it what it is. It's a total escape. Where there was no way out of the consequence of sin, but He made a way to escape. A way to go free. Free. So we bear His name. But will we respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God in loving us, caring for us, trying to save us? Maybe our prayers need to change, and we need to include in our prayers of blessing and grace, say, God, please, please, please offend me so that I might be saved. Offend me where I'm wrong. And the way to remove the offense is for us to begin to think like God does. Now we agree with Him. Now we do as He leads, as He says, as He writes us. And now there's no offense that we can take because things are right.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.